Today, we'll talk about if you should include Hollywood Studios on your upcoming Disney World trip. That's coming up on this episode 108 of WW Pro to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 108. So today we are going to dive into the problem that is Hollywood Studios, because a lot of people want to know if they should even bother to go because there's been so many changes and closures. And so I want to talk about that today. Before we dive into that, just a reminder to follow on social media. And I am on almost every form of social media at WDW Prep School. But I want to call a special attention to Instagram this week because I am leaving for Disney World on Wednesday, September 23rd. And so I always post a lot more on Instagram when I'm actually in the parks. And so if you're an Instagrammer, you should follow me on Instagram. I will also be periscoping from the park. So if you are going to be interested in seeing live videos from the parks, then make sure you're on Periscope, which is a free app that you can get in the App Store. Follow WDW Prep School on Periscope as well. And so I will be live streaming and Instagramming and all the other things as well. But those are my two main focuses. I will be at Disney World for a few days, and then I will be moving over to Universal. So I will be doing a bit of both. And if you're interested in both of those things for your trip, hopefully you'll follow along. As usual, I will, after the main topic today, talk about news and the featured company of the day and a quick tip to finish us out. So let's dive into today's main topic. So Hollywood Studios has been a bit of a problem because they are in major transition. So when we were at day 23 in August, it was very exciting to hear about all the new things that are coming to Hollywood Studios. But the problem is between now and then, there's going to be a lot of closures, and that makes it very awkward. And I always, you know, I get to go to Disney World a lot, so it's easy for me to get excited because I know what's coming. I know I'll get to see it. That's great. But I always feel bad for people who are going between now and then because they have to sort of suffer from, you know, old things being closed, but new things aren't open. And so it's kind of a burden to have to pay for your trip and then arrive when things are closed if you don't get to go a lot. Especially. So there have been a lot of things that have closed within the last year or so. And that list includes Backlot Tour and American Idol Experience, the Magic of Disney Animation Building, which had lots of stuff in the building, including character meets. And it had like drawing classes. So there's a lot of things within the same building, but it has now closed. Mulch, Sweat, and Shears is going away in October, and they are entertainment, like musical act. So they're going away in October. Osborne Lights, this is the last year for Osborne Lights. So January 3rd, 2016 will be the final day to view those. They will not be at Hollywood Studios anymore. And then finally, Frozen Summer Fun has concluded as of early September. So some of the things that were associated with that and, you know, have gone away, but there have been rumors that some elements of Frozen Summer Fun will be returning. So we'll have to see if that happens. But in addition to the list of closures I've just mentioned, there are some rumored closures as well. One of those, well, I'm not going to say one of those, there's a whole list, but Voyage of the Little Mermaid, One Man's Dream, Walt's office has already been removed from One Man's Dream, but One Man's Dream itself could be closing. Fantasmic doesn't have anything showing or scheduled after January as of right now. That doesn't mean it's necessarily closing, but it is suspicious because there are nothing's on the schedule for Fantasmic after January. So at the very least, it could be a temporary closure. Lights, Motors, Action, and Star Wars Weekends is also rumored to be not coming back. But once again, the things I just listed are rumored closures, nothing definite, but it could happen. Some of them are very likely because they're on the same side of Hollywood Studios that a lot of the closures have been. And so it's expected that One Man's Dream is, you know, probably going to close. And but some of the other ones I'm more skeptical about them, but they are all rumored. There are some new things happening at Hollywood Studios. The Great Movie Wreck has had some updates on the inside, some minor updates, but on the outside, visually, some fantastic updates, including the spires coming back out and the stage that was in front of it is gone. So it's a great view of Great Movie Ride. There is also a third track on Toy Story Mania being added, which will increase the capacity of Toy Story Mania. And then, of course, there are lots of Star Wars things happening. So there is Star Wars Launch Bay, which is the old Magic of Animation building. It's being transformed into Star Wars Launch Bay. Visually, on the outside, you can already see that happening. There is a new Star Wars show that we know is coming to Hollywood Studios because they are casting for it on the Disney audition site. And then Season of the Force starts in early 2016. So even though Star Wars Weekends is rumored to be going away, we do have Season of the Force. So there are some new things that are happening at Hollywood Studios, although most of them in the short term are relatively minor. So the main highlights of Hollywood Studios have always been pretty much these things: Toy Story Mania, and they still are, Rock and Roller Coaster, Tower of Terror, Star Tours, more recently, the Sing-Along, which is great for Frozen fans. And then the Disney Junior characters have become quite appealing to people at Hollywood Studios because it's the only place that you can meet them. And so those are sort of the highlights. Those things haven't gone away. They're still there. So I think if those appeal to you, then that's good news for your trip. So the question, having heard all this about, you know, closures, rumored closures, and all this stuff, is should you go to Hollywood Studios for your Disney World trip? And the answer, I think, is maybe. So if you are a Star Wars fan and you're going, especially in early 2016, I think you're gonna love it because there's gonna be some new stuff. There's still Star Tours, and certainly in a couple years, you're gonna really love it when the new Star Wars land opens. Frozen fans like it because the sing-along is there, and especially if the elements of the Frozen Summer Fun come back, especially the fireworks and some of the shows that are part of that, then that'll be exciting. Hopefully, we'll hear something about that soon. If it's going to happen, I think we're going to hear about it in October because that's when the fiscal year for Disney starts over, and so they have new budgets for things like that. I also think that people who are fans of Disney Junior characters will want to go because it's the only place you can meet the characters. You can meet them, and you can meet them as a character meet, but you can also meet them at Hollywood and Vine. But also if you're just a fan of the main attractions, Toy Story Mania, Rock and Roller Coaster, Tower of Terror, those kind of things, then Hollywood Studios is still going to be appealing to you. I think the problem comes in that most of the things that have closed have been sort of like on the B team in terms of Hollywood Studios attractions. So after you do the highlights, then you go and visit the sort of filler things that are a little bit less important. And so those things are gone. So after you do the main attractions, then what do you do at Hollywood Studios? And so for that reason, I think Hollywood Studios is very safely a half-day park. And in fact, on most of my trips, I only spend a couple of hours there, although I know that I'm not normal and that I get to go a lot. So in my opinion, it just takes really a few hours to do Hollywood Studios right now, given the number of attractions. One of the things that has changed a lot within the last year or so is that Hollywood Studios used to be really easy to do without a FastPass or FastPass Plus, as it eventually changed to, because you could easily show up at Hollywood Studios and go to Toy Story Mania, Rock and Roller Coaster, Tower of Terror, Star Tours, Great Movie Ride, and you could go to anything without fast passes. But because the number of attractions has gone down at Hollywood Studios so drastically, there just aren't that many to accommodate all the people. So standby lines have grown and fast passes run out much faster. So for that reason, I highly recommend that if you go to Hollywood Studios that you have fast passes, which is completely opposite advice that I gave a year ago when I used to do it all the time without fast passes. So if you approach it as a half day park, then you're going to have to figure out how to pair it. So obviously you can do Hollywood Studios in the morning and take a break in the afternoon, something like that. But if you want to do both parks or two parks in the same day, I recommend getting fast passes for Hollywood Studios later in the day and then doing another park at the beginning of the day. So for example, at Animal Kingdom, you might show up at Rope Drop at park opening and go to Kilimanjaro Safari right at the beginning, and then you can ride Expedition Everest in the single rider line, and then later in the day, skip over to Hollywood Studios and use FastPass reservations. You could do a similar thing at Epcot where you at Rope Drop go to Soarin at Rope Drop and do Test Track as a single rider line and spend a little bit more time and then skip over to Hollywood Studios. And so it's really important that you know that Fast Passes are going to be a part of your Hollywood Studios touring just because they're just not a lot to accommodate all of the people. A lot of high capacity attractions are no longer available. So everybody's trying to fit into what's left and it's become a bit of a bottleneck. So my answer to the question of should you go to Hollywood Studios on your trip is maybe, but if you do, I think a half day is probably all that's needed right now. Hopefully that will return to a longer day park and we will get to spend a lot more time there. But right now it's just hard to justify. So I think that kind of wraps up my thoughts about Hollywood Studios. I'd love to hear your thoughts. And if you want to head to the website and talk in the comment section or on Facebook, then I'd be glad to chat with you there. So let's talk about news. There were a few things that happened this week that I want you to know about. First of all, the Food and Wine Festival map just became available. Food and Wine Festival starts this week, and I will be there when it opens. And so now the map's available. So I will link to that in the show notes. Not a lot of surprises there. It kind of is the same from year to year. You just need to eat and drink around the world and not think too much about it. And the second thing I wanted to mention is that April park hours are still not out. So I think I mentioned last time that they would probably be out on Monday, the day after the podcast went up, but it didn't happen, which is very, very strange. This schedule is so set that my assistant and I will often just clear our calendars on those days because we want to make sure to get those out as quickly as possible. And now they have completely changed up the schedule and the April park hours are still not out. However, the months between now and March, they have made updates to the park hours on the My Disney Experience, like in the app and on the website. So if you are going between now and March, I would just go ahead and verify the park hours for your dates in the app or on the website. They just haven't done the normal thing of publishing the updates to the travel agent website, which is where I get them. And then later on, they usually will update their website. Their flow has changed recently. I don't know if this is permanent or not, but April hours are still not available. The third thing to let you know about is that it is now rumored that the third track on Toy Story Midway Mania might open this year. Previously, it was thought that it would open in 2016, and now the thought is that the third track might actually open this year with other changes to Toy Story Mania coming next year, including the entrance, because when they bring Toy Story Land to Hollywood Studios, the entrance to Toy Story Mania will likely be on the back of where it is now because the land will be built behind where Toy Story Mania is. But the third track, the only way that that really affects you is that there will be more capacity. So hopefully the lines will decrease and there'll be more Fastpass Plus availability for that attraction. So that might open and happen as early as this fall. Third thing is that Narcoossee's, which is a restaurant at the Grand Floridian, which is right on the water, and often you can see fireworks from there at Magic Kingdom, they are going to start offering a waterfront brunch beginning on November 22nd. The menu is fixed price, and it is $69 for adults, $41 for kids 3 to 9. If you're on the dining plan, it's 2 table service credits. The brunch starts with champagne, mimosa, Bloody Mary, or for little ones, smoothies. And then there's a pastry basket that has things like croissants and sticky buns. And then you have a choice of appetizer like onion soup gratin, seafood, I can't pronounce the name of that appetizer, shrimp and grits, and artisanal cheese. And then there's lots of entrees and a trio of desserts. So it sounds delicious and it's a great view. Many people do have issues with the price, but when you're at the Grand Floridian, nothing is cheap. The last bit of news is that Jock Lindsay's Hangar Bar, which is a new restaurant opening in Downtown Disney, it will be open starting September 22nd. It is themed after Indiana Jones, and they have tapas, small plates, and things like that. And it looks like a really fun experience. Disney, Downtown Disney / Disney Springs is really doing a great job offering all these like fantastically themed restaurants. And this is another one, along with the Boathouse, which is located nearby. So that's just another one to add to the list of Downtown Disney options. And I'm excited to try it out. I might actually get to do that when I'm there because it opens the day before I leave. So I think that wraps up the news. I want to talk about today's featured company, which is dvcrequests.com. And what that website does is they allow you to rent points for the villas at Disney World. And that is one of my very favorite tips and ways to save money is that you can stay in deluxe resorts, but pay a moderate amount. And so you can rent points. You can rent points from individuals as well. But what I like about renting through dvcrequests.com is that it's a business with credit card processing and professional correspondence and a set rate. You don't have to haggle with the price. You don't have to figure out, you know, what kind of payment makes sense. It's just pretty clear cut. And so you'll pay a little bit more usually than if you go through an individual, but I really like the professional process and ability to book without worrying too much about somebody taking off with my money, which is always a fear that you might have if you're dealing with an individual. But dealing with dvcrequests.com has always been a pleasure, and I have done it a couple of times, and so I recommend it for you. If you do not understand the process of renting points, I will link to that in the show notes, and that way you can see if it makes sense for you. So before we wrap up today, a quick tip. So I was talking to my friend this week who just got back from Disney World, and we were talking about how a lot of people, I think, are surprised when they stay at deluxe resorts at Disney World because so many of them have outdoor components. And so for me, one of the best parts about staying at a hotel is that you're sort of all enclosed. I mean, that's, you know, motels are, they open out, hotels are usually all enclosed. And so if you have on PJs and you need to run down and grab a snack or some medicine or something like that, it's really easy to be in PJs and flip-flops and run down and get it. But most deluxe resorts at Disney World are not like that. And so it may come as a surprise to people. So if this is a priority for you, and it might not be, but it is for me, there are a few deluxe resorts where you can stay inside and do everything. You can check in, you can eat, you can grab snacks, you get to your room, all that kind of stuff. There are a few that stuck out for us in our conversation as being sort of fulfilling that criteria. Animal Kingdom Lodge, Wilderness Lodge, and Beach Club, which happen to be, I think, my favorite deluxe resorts, probably in part for this reason. So if that's something that's important to you, then I would definitely look at those three options for your trip. So I think that's going to wrap up this episode of WDW Prep to Go. For more information on this show, you can look in the show notes in your podcast app, or you can go to wdwprepschool.com/episode108. That is the number 108. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.